In our first message on things that begin with the letter A, we talked about animism, didn't we? And we talked about how animistic people try to control the world around them by influencing the spirit world, which they see as powerful, but something that they can manipulate. And the gods that the animists serve are not omnipresent, so you can avoid them if you want to, and they're not all-knowing, so you can fool them if you want to, and you can manipulate them. But our takeaway for that one was not to think like animists, and especially in regard to God. He's not a God we can manipulate. He's a self-sufficient God. His favor can't be purchased, and he knows all, and so we need to worship him for who he is and take our place as his creation. Go ahead to the next slide. In our second in our series, we talked about apostasy. And go to the next slide. Our example in our discussion of apostasy was athletics or runners. A runner doesn't take extra things with him. He doesn't look to the sides. He looks towards the goal and he runs straight. And as Christians, we are to leave off things that hinder us and concentrate on Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And that's a very important thing for us today in the world we live in here, especially maybe even in the United States, is we go from church to church and we see a lot of people getting distracted with things that are on the side. Christ, loving people, God's word is going to the side, and all they want to talk about is X. So we don't want to do that. We want to concentrate on Christ and the things that Christ has for us, and that is a true blessing. All right. Yes, the next slide. Today is A is for Algaldiaama. All right. So now in hearing is a bit of a problem. I was hoping the Hinderegers would be here to help me interpret this. In fact, this is a picture of some guys behind their house in Namaltugan, and Algaldiaama means Father's Day. And so here we have a father showing a unique way to hold a chainsaw so that his son can not just do it the standard way like everybody else. This also needs a bit of explanation. When our flight was canceled, we received a call saying, "Would you be willing to come back to Hoodsport again?" "Sure." "So how about on Father's Day?" So we said, "Sure, Father's Day sounds great." And I started getting all these ideas in my head. "Oh, well, I don't know if I've ever preached on Father's Day. This would be great." And then we found out that we had a family reunion on Father's Day weekend. So we got switched over to today. But I really didn't want to give up on Father's Day. So, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know what, if I ask the guys here if it's okay if we have a bonus Father's Day this year, would that be all right, guys, if we just have two Father's Day? I see some nods. Yes. All right. Well, very good. In the spirit of bonus Father's Day, I brought a whole basket of Father's Day gifts, and these will be in the back, so please help yourself to a Father's Day gift. We'll get those to the back later on. Very good. All right, then I shall proceed. There, very good. All right, so when we think about Father's Day and we think about what is the classic verse, Father's Day verse in the Bible, I know you're all thinking about this one. Go ahead to the next slide. It has to be Romans 4:16. Abraham, he is the father of us all. Was that the one you were thinking of? I'm sure it was. All right, Abraham, he is the father of us all. Go ahead to the next slide. You know, when we think of Abraham as the father of us all, we might say, wait a minute. Shouldn't that be Adam? He is the father of us all. That's true. Go to the next slide. Or possibly even Noah. He is the father of us all. Because after all, when Noah was on the ark, it was only his sons that were there with him, his three sons and their wives, and his wife, and so everybody after that can trace their lineage back to Noah. So Noah, he is the father of us all. Go to the next slide. But Abraham, the father of us all, that gives us a little bit of a question in our mind. What's going on here? Is Abraham the father of us all? Individually, is Abraham my father? Is he your father? How did he get to be the father of us all? Well, don't run out and buy a 23andMe kit right now, okay? We could save you some money, and we're gonna discover that this morning. All right, the next slide, please. There are two conundrums. I had problems there, but I kind of like the word conundrum. There's two conundrums with this. First of all, Abraham's conundrum. When God told Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, he would have children as many as the stars, which means uncountable children, Abraham had zero. He had zero children. So that was a problem for him. And then it's also a problem for us because, as far as I know, my ancestors came from England. And as far as I know, none of you are from the Middle East. But I could be wrong, but most of us are not from the Middle East. So how then can we say that we trace our lines back to Abraham? How can we say Abraham, he is the father of us all? So go ahead to the next slide. We're going to first talk about Abraham's problem here, okay? So when God told Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, have uncountable number of descendants, he was very old. He was about 100 years old. And Sarah was also old. She was about 90. So it was physically impossible for them to have a child, let alone so many descendants. It would take an absolute miracle. I thought about putting a picture on here of my grandma. She's 98. And to say, okay, look at this lady. Here she is, 98. Let's say she wanted to have a child all her life, but never has been able to have a child. That's a pretty, and then to say, yeah, you're going to have a baby next year. That's just absurd. It would take an absolute miracle. But go ahead to the next slide. But God did provide that child, didn't he? Isaac. And Abraham had other children as well, other sons. And Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob, who was renamed Israel, had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And now today, there are millions and millions of Jews around the world. And as God promised, they can't be counted. They're like the stars of the sky. All right. But so Abraham's problem is fulfilled. We don't have to worry about that. He has his children. But now how about our problem, our conundrum? Are we Abraham's children or not? When I was young, I remember singing this song, Father Abraham had many sons. I don't know, is that dated? Like, do kids still sing that or not? No? Yes? No? Yes. Yes. Okay, the kids know that. Right arm, left arm. Okay. Yeah, I remember being a little confused by that. I am one of them and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. Well, what's all that about? I was kind of thinking if they left a guitar up here, we'd run through that a few times and see if we can get it in our heads. Well, the first thing is we have to look. Go ahead to the next slide. We have to, when we say Abraham, he is the father of us all, we have to really think about what that says. It does not say Abraham, he is the father of all people. Okay, that's not what it's saying. Go ahead to the next slide. He is saying that Abraham and his children are a group, and in that group, it's us all, or if you're in the South, maybe we-ins, not you-ins, right? We-ins, not you-ins, okay? And in the family of Abraham there, in that yellow circle, go ahead to the next slide, there are different levels of relationship, okay? And we're going to be talking about that, but just as a way of an example, even in our own family, there's layers of relationship, right? You have your close family, and then on a different level, there's aunts and uncles and cousins. And then way out there, there's the distant cousins, five times removed and all that, right? For example, Randy, I don't know where he is. There he is, way back there. Now, Randy and I are related, right? Randy is my wife's sister's husband's first cousin. So that's like 15th cousin, 32 times removed. But, so that's an example of a kind of a distant distant relation, but yet still brother or cousin. I have him labeled. He's on my list. So that's a very broad. Now, in Abraham's family, there are also levels, but on the widest level, we have all of Abraham's descendants. Go ahead to the next slide. All right. So we have Abraham in the middle. We often just talk about Isaac, but he had Ishmael, and Ishmael had lots of kids. And if you want to read about them, you can read in Genesis chapter 25, 12 through 18. They became tribes and nations as well. So Abraham had many descendants through Ishmael. And then he had after Sarah died, he got married again, and Keturah was his wife. And he had Zimron, Jokshan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua, and all their descendants. So basically the whole Middle East is related to Abraham, right? A lot of people there that would be included in that group. That's the widest level. And we are not in that level. We are not descended from Abraham in that way. But there's another level, and it's a broader level, and we're going to read about it in Romans chapter 9. I'll have it on the screen if you want to go there in your Bibles. It's Romans 9, starting with verse 6. Okay, so Paul here is talking about the idea of what's happening. We have all kinds of people that are the direct descendants of Abraham, but they don't seem to be living like God's people. He's a little concerned about that. And he says, "It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel." Hear that? Not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. That's a little confusing, but it's basically saying in that big group of people that are descended from Abraham, they're not all God's people. They're not. There's another layer of Abraham's children there. Verse 7, "Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this is how the promise was stated, 'At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son.'" So there's two important things to get out of this passage. The first is that on the second level of Abraham's family, we have a subset of his descendants. All right, and go ahead to the next slide. Not all of the natural children are included in Abraham's family. Rather, those that have been touched by the promise of God. So there's those that are included in God's family, Abraham's children. And then there's a level of Abraham's children, but they are not God's children. So the people in this second layer are God's children too. They're God's children and Abraham's children. It's the same thing. So we take Ishmael. Ishmael was a natural child born not result of a promise, and his birth did not take a miracle, and he is not included. But whereas Isaac is not natural, a miracle resulting from a promise is so he is included. So that's the second layer. That's the second level. But there's a third level, because so far, all the people in the orange piece of pie there are still blood relatives of Abraham. So let's move on to Romans 4, 9 through 12. Go ahead to that slide. Romans 4, 9 through 12. "Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised?" So this is Paul's way of saying, are the blessings of God only for the Jews, who are the circumcised people of that day, or is it also for the Gentiles, people that are not blood relatives of Abraham? All right. "We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but who are also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Okay, go ahead to the next slide, please. So the third and the highest level of Abraham's family, or Abraham's children, is he is the father of all who believe. Abraham is the father of those that have faith like the faith that Abraham had. So if you want to solve this morning's question, are you a third level child of Abraham? You will need to know if you are in this group. You don't need a DNA test to find out if you are a physical descendant of Abraham. Your genealogy doesn't matter at this level. You need spiritual DNA to a test to see if your faith has the same traits and makeup as Abraham's faith. All right? Is your faith like Abraham's faith? If it is, you're a child of Abraham, in the spiritual family. Let's go to Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, that's the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. There's our key verse. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. When I read that verse, that the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were, I said, wow, this is a look into what was in Abraham's mind. We see him do some very crazy things, but what was going through his mind? And here we have it. This is what he believed about God. These are two traits of Abraham's faith. First, that God gives life to the dead. All right? He's the creator God that gives life. So Abraham and Sarah's chance of producing offspring was zero. In other words, dead. Abraham believed in spite of Sarah's zero ability that God would give life. And he did. Another example of this that we don't have time for this morning is in Hebrews. It explains Abraham's offering Isaac as a sacrifice and being willing to put him to death, because the reasoning behind that was Abraham knew both of these things. God can give life, and that God does what he promises. He calls things that are not as though they were. And God had already said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be blessed. He knew that Isaac had to live. He knew that God could give life, therefore he could go ahead. And that's the DNA of his faith. You can see it in those examples. Also, the trait that God has the ability to call things that are not as though they were. God said to Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. Abraham believed, and he acted on it. He left Ur of the Chaldees, and he went. Another time, God said to him, Abram, your name is now Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. Abraham wasn't the father of a multitude, was he? He didn't have any children at all. So, but God calls things that are not as though they were. God can see the future. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He always keeps his promises. So those are the two traits of Abraham's faith that seem to be very, very important to us. Let's read a little bit more here. Romans 4, verses 20 through 25. That's not Romans 4, 20 through 25. There it is. All right, very good. All right, yet he, that's Abraham, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. So Abraham believed God gives life and that God does what he promises. He was fully persuaded. And here's the remarkable thing. God credited him with righteousness. Because of his faith, he was credited with righteousness. Now, God didn't look at Abraham's life and say, okay, let's see, here we have a pretty nice guy. He's somewhat obedient, at least a lot of time. He does some things that are not so good. We can find those in the Bible. He did some things that are not so good, but then there's some good things, and put him on a scale and say, oh, okay, his good is a little bit more than his bad, so I'll count him as a righteous person. That's not what God did. That's not the way God gives righteousness. That's impossible, because that would be a mix of sin and good works. And it would leave us full of uncertainty about what our future were. There's no way we could count on going to heaven if that was the way it was. But no, it was by faith. It was because of Abraham's faith, and we know what that was like, that God credited him with righteousness and put him in the third group, in the third level of family. That's how Abraham became the father of us all, because he was the first one named in the Bible to have this kind of faith. And so his followers, people that have faith like his, are in his family. So if the DNA of your faith is the same as the DNA of Abraham's faith, you are spiritually in his family. So our question is answered. Believers are part of Abraham's family. Abraham's problem is also answered in a way that was far beyond what he could imagine. He is the father of people from many, many nations. Now, it said in the verses we just read, it was credited to him. It was credited to him, or righteousness was credited to him. It was not written for him alone, but for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. So, if you believe that Jesus died and God raised him from the dead, you have faith like Abraham's, the first part, right? You believe that God gives life. You're part of the family. If you believe that you are God's child and his promise that you are going to experience sinless perfection in heaven in the future, that you are justified, even though you know you're still sinful, God is speaking of what he's calling things that as they are. I'm getting this. I'll get this turned around. God is calling things that are not as though they were, saying, you are perfect in my eyes. You are sinless. Because that is the future he has for you. If you believe that, you are showing that you have the same, your faith has the same DNA as Abraham's faith. All right? So, the big question, is your faith like that? Is Abraham your father? If he is not, he can be. That's the good news today. He can be. You know, when Peter went to speak to Cornelius. Here we have Cornelius. He's not a Jew. He's not a descendant of Abraham. And Peter is speaking to him, and what is he telling him? He's telling him about God giving life to Jesus. He's telling him about God's promises for things that have not yet happened, and that Jesus will judge the living and the dead. That hasn't happened yet. And he's saying that all the prophets testify about him, that whoever believes on him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Cornelius and his family believe, and immediately they are adopted into God's family. They become third level children of Abraham because of their faith. So we need to have this kind of faith. If you don't have it, you can choose to have it. It's just a matter of a choice to believe what God is who he says he is, and does what he says he will do. We don't want to have the faith of an animist who wants to control God, and we don't want to have the fake faith of an agnostic who quickly turns his back on God, but we want to have this against all hope. Abraham believed God, and that's the kind of faith we want to have. So let me pray that we'll all have that kind of faith. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Abraham and his example to us of trusting you and believing who you are, and that you have given that opportunity not just to his natural descendants, but also to us who are far removed from Abraham, that you've included us in the family, that you've broken down the walls that separated us. And we praise you for that. I pray that each one of us would remember these truths as we go about our lives. And if there's anyone here that has not chosen to trust you and to believe in you, that you would have mercy on them and pull on their heartstrings this morning. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.